Welcome to Spraymakers, the podcast that dives deep into the world of slalom with Rossi and Tritt. To finish off season four, the guys talk through reflecting on the season past and look forward to the season ahead.
This is that one. It's a little bit bittersweet. This is the last episode of season four, Rossi.
I can't believe it. I mean, it feels like we just got started and we're just finding our groove. And all of a sudden we get to this this part of the year where it's time to wrap it up. So
yeah,
really excited
it's
about
weird,
it.
Like, yeah. I was going to say, it's weird. Like, well, like, cause I left Texas yesterday, 102 degrees. So the thought of the season winding down is, it's not even, you know, it's not even on the back burner of my thoughts yet, but I arrived up here in Seattle to do some skiing with some guys. And I get here and I'm like, oh yeah, no, this season, all, even though the world is around the corner, this season is almost over. It's 50 degrees. You know, it's certainly fall up here. And I know, Rossi, same with you, you know, or same for you, Utah. It's, you know, you guys are still skiing, but it's certainly, you know, thoughts are probably for you starting to drift to snow. I know, you know, up here it's the same thing. It's like jackets and beanies. And so what this is, you know, as much as everyone loves water skiing, this is kind of a cool time of the year also in terms of, you know, it's a lot of our listeners are going to have one or two tournaments left this year. Some are already done, but this is at that brief moment where season's not over yet, but it's time to start reflecting.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I love to finish my season off with reflection of how this past season went, how well did I do for what goals I did set, and what, and then really, really being honest with myself about, yeah, you know, how did it go, man? Like, what did I do well? What could I have improved on more? What did I struggle with? What can I implement for the next season mm-hmm. to be able to take that to the level that I want to get at? And, you know, woke up this morning we were in the 40s, crisp mornings. We're still getting in those 70s and 80s during the day. So you still have some skiing weather, but, you know, my season has, I don't have any more tournaments on tap. So we're getting colder. So yeah, it's coming to a close. It's so sad here, but it does feel, it feels great, you know, to know that you're winding down and it's been a great season, but on the same token, you're like, man, I want another month or two and this window is going to close quickly, you know? So we're probably, you know, in the high 60s for water now. I haven't been out in a couple of days, but with these cold nights and shorter days and less light, you know, those things start to go. So it's time to be honest with ourselves and realize, you know, like, hey, well, let's reflect. Let's look at
for
it.
Sure.
And so, you know, when you get to this point, when you're working with your students and yourself and things like that, like, how do you approach that combo?
Yeah. So I do, you know, for the people that I'm lucky enough to get to work with very regularly, at that point of the season, we do kind of like a, you know, an exit meeting, and it sounds formal, but it's, you know, it's rather informal, but it's, you know, hey, let's just dig out, you know, your the project that you put in place back in March, you know, like that, the way you mapped out the season, and let's just review, like, what were your, you know, start with the quantitative goals. What was your goal? What was it that you wanted to be able to run? What was it that where you expected to be? And then it's like, if you didn't hit those marks, that doesn't make the season a failure, but because again, this is the thing you need to remember, that none of this is a long-term plan, right? It's not day to day. It's not even season to season. It's bigger picture than that. So then you just go back and review, like, did I hit the marks? If the answer is yes, like, you know, wonderful. If the answer is no, then look back to the benchmarks you tried to hit, like, you know, when you were trying to plan your peaks, how close were you to on any of those? And I think then from there, you just look, you know, at what point in the season was I skiing the best? When were all cylinders firing? And then try and find the correlation, you know, like if if you know, the first 2 weeks of August, like, man, I felt like I couldn't do anything wrong, or that, or that's when I was closest to hitting that peak I was looking for. You know, just kind of dig into that a little bit. What was happening with my skiing at that point of the season? What was happening with my life at that point of the season? And you know, you can demystify all of this if you just take more of a clinical look at it.
I think there's something really big you just said, and that is, you know, look at my life at this point, you know, when you were skiing well, because I think we tend to overshadow like the importance yeah. of how the external factors really play in. And
yeah, for sure.
You know, when I'm skiing my best, I'm also in a really good headspace. So really, you know, I just wanted to kind of highlight that and just understand that. And then the other thing that you said, which I think is really important for people to understand, is that we set goals so that we're striving for something. And mm-hmm. if we don't meet those goals, that doesn't mean that we're at a full, you know, that the season was a loss, or that we, you know, didn't accomplish those goals. It's a time to look at maybe why we didn't accomplish those goals, and then re-reflect on, you know, how could we have done it better, or what yeah. were we missing, or, you know, those types of things that really play in so hugely at the end. So, you know, I think those are two really important things that you highlighted that I think people really need to understand. And, you know, we can take this to a different level or same level and just take me personally. You know, I yeah. skied this year. Yeah. I had goals. I had a lot of things. And interestingly enough, and some of the goals that we set have to be a little bit longer term than maybe one season. So yeah. in my goals this year, I didn't have a buoy count in my head that I was shooting for. There's times where, you know, like I put a buoy count out there that's what I want to try to strive for. But this year, my goals, and I'll talk about myself personally, but my goals were, yeah. my goal, number one, was to be peaking at nationals. Now, I decided to ski nationals, as we've talked about in the past, and I really wanted to peak perform at that point. And, you know, to double up on that was a professional event at the nationals. So, you know, those were the two goals that I set. Like, I want to be ready for those events. I want to, you know, my goals for the season were to win nationals and win this pro event that was at nationals after the actual nationals occurred.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's where I set my deal, you know, my main goals for this season, knowing that, and I've talked about this in past episodes, you know, I'm working on my strength, I'm working on my conditioning, and I have longer term goals of running more buoys than I ever have, you know, at my current, in my current division and things like that. So, you know, but those goals I know are longer goals. So, you know, if my base strength levels aren't high enough, I'm not going to be able to, you know, run those top buoys, even if my technique is out of this world. So, you know, so I have a couple of different things there. Like, in reflection, the buoy count that I ran this year, am I happy with it? Did it reach my expectations? Did I set new personal best? I did not set any personal best this year. I did ski very well. I also, you know, so anyway, going back to my goals were to win those events, which actually happened. So, you know, I get to check that off and say, okay, the goals that I set there were exactly where I wanted to be. And now I can start to formulate my plan for the future. So that was really good. And then the other goal I had for this season was that I was working on a new ski and wanted to, you know, that's always really important to me. It's important to me on so many levels when I'm designing products. You know, obviously I'd love to design the product so that I ski my personal best. But I can tell you that what gives me yeah. the biggest joy is watching others perform their best on the products that I work so hard to put out yeah. there. And so, you know, this has been a longer project as well. You know, I've been working on that project for 2 years and, you know, finally got it out at Nationals and came out with, we were, you know, as the insiders of this project, we were very excited about the results. We had all the pro team riding the new product early for the first time ever. And, you know, pros can be very finicky about making changes mid-season, early season, things like that. But this ski came together so just kind of beautifully that everybody was ready and riding it and competing well on it with many, many wins on the pro end of things, which makes me very happy. But ultimately, you know, that's a piece of the pie. You know, I'm a piece of that pie. And then also the listeners here and you know, all of our skiers around the world that ride our products, you know, and the future new riders of our products are a huge sliver of that pie. And so things are trickling in, things are getting a lot more fun. You know, I just read a review posted by John Horton on Ball of Spray, you know, about the new product. And if you want to check it out, just go to ballofspray.com and you can look at this new review. But it was very positive. So, you know, get to go into the winter, you know, knowing that I accomplished the three goals that I set out to do. And that's very exciting. And so I would review myself positively, not myself, but review my year and my work for, you know, I would say this was a very big success. But at the same token, I'm not resting on that laurel. You know, I'm not resting on that. I don't go in there and go, yay. I go also, I do go yay, because you should celebrate those things. But I also know that I want to run some more buoys. So I have to look backwards and say, okay, let's be honest with myself. What could I do better? And, you know, I have some things, you know, that I need to work on to improve that top buoy score. But I've got the right product. I've got things going in the right direction. And it's, you know, things are looking positive. So,
yeah.
It's an interesting time to, I think the biggest thing is just be honest, you know? I mean, I think that's the hardest thing that we struggle with, is to look at what we have going so far, you know, to celebrate those wonderful moments that went well. And I think everybody should have some of those in there. If you didn't, that's okay too. I mean, not every season is your best season, but then we have to go into this reflection period. So, you know, I think it's important to, you know, be on that level, you know, and be honest with yourself.
Like, I think, and it's, so like, if you didn't hit the marks that you had set out, then it's like, okay, so were they the wrong goals? Was it the wrong plan? You know, like, did I not, the plan that I set in motion, was it that it wasn't effective in terms of the amount I skied, where I skied, who I skied with, or was it just simply I needed more time? You know, like, you know, like you said, like, it's not just a 1 year plan. Like, so I think, like, ultimately, even if you miss those goals that you had set out, even if you were, you know, a buoy off here or there or whatever it was, I think the biggest thing is just look back. Am I better now than I was 12 months ago? And that doesn't necessarily, like you said, Rossi, like you didn't run a PB this year, but am I better? Am I, as in terms of, am I executing certain aspects of my skiing better? And that goes back to the qualitative goals you set out. Like, what specific aspects did I want to A, understand better, and B, hopefully execute better? And you know, and that's just the whole thing. Like, improvement comes in lots of different forms at lots, you know, at varying rates for different skiers, depending upon where you are in the learning curve and the whole deal. So, I mean, just, am I better now than I was last year? And if the answer is no, then that's when you need to start tweaking your approach, or start thinking about how you're going to tweak your approach for next year. You know, again, it's just like, I think we get so wrapped up in buoy count. And ultimately, we're both going to tell you that's all that matters. I get it. But we get so wrapped up in the day-to-day buoy count, the week-to-week buoy count, the month-to-month, the season-to-season, that, you know, we don't stop to appreciate where we might be improving, because those improvements ultimately are going to lead to the buoy count you're striving for. So, again, in that moment of reflection, just look, like, you know, what did I improve upon? What time of the year did I improve upon? And that's why, like, Rossi, like, you taking that daily ski log. And again, that's not going to resonate with everyone, but the power of taking that daily ski log is that, if you know, if you do it like Rossi does, you can sit down and you can just look like, here is exactly when I was skiing the best. Here are the conditions that were surrounding that. And I don't mean the water conditions, but the conditions of, you know, in terms of life ski balance, here's what was working best for me. So when, you know, when you get back with Swim Makers in the spring and we start formulating a season plan, you're going to have, man, anytime you have more information, it's power, right? Too often, and myself included for a big chunk of my career, is I just kind of went shooting blindly in the dark, kind of as if I was just starting over every single season, instead of, you know, towards the end of my career when I was able to take a better approach and build and build and build set to set, day to day, year to year. Take that knowledge from being able to review this season, and we're gonna plug it directly into our season planning for next year. Okay, so review's over. Now, for me, Rossi, tell me what you think about this, because I get this question a lot, you know, and I have a lot of people that they just say, I'm gonna ski all winter whenever it's nice, and there is nothing wrong with that. But for me, having a prescribed time off, like, and this is something that I did later on, would be, you know, whatever that is, if that's 6 weeks, 8 weeks, or if it's weather dependent, if that's 4 months, like just knowing that I was not going to be skiing for these certain number of weeks. For me, that really helped me just remove myself mentally and emotionally from the sport, even if it's just for a moment.
I don't ever want to ski a set that I am not working on striving for my goals. So yeah, to ski just to stay in shape over the winter is not enticing to me. It's a long season. It's very mentally draining. It takes a lot of commitment. And, you know, what you found out in the end of your career is something that for me has always been a staple of my skiing, which is,
for sure,
I grew up in Vermont. We had a long winter, too long, if I'm being honest, you know. So I had forced time off, and I hated it, you know, because I wanted to be skiing. My competitors, a lot of the times, were skiing many more months a year than I was able to ski. And so there is that moment where you're like, I'm going to ski as much as I possibly can. And there is something to that. And there are going to be skiers that can ski year round and mentally stay tuned in to what they're doing and what they're striving for. But to just take sets, for me, we've talked about this so many times, but I hate it when I come off the water and I'm like, you know, when I reflect on that set and I go, what did I even do right there?
Why did I do that?
I just wasted a set. So yeah. I think that's really important to understand. So for me, and then I read a book, you know, I think it was a climbing book, and I've talked about this in the past, but it says something like, for every 12-month period that you do an activity, and I think this could apply to anything, but, you know, especially for sport, they say for every 12 months you do something, there should be at least a minimum of a month off where you try not to think about it, try not to do those movements, just let it be. And I guess I was always forced into that scenario, but I did one winter, I did try skiing for an entire winter all the way through it. I took a small break to go on a, you know, snow ski vacation / you know, retreat for 3 weeks or something like that, but I skied the whole year through. This was when I was skiing, you know, professionally, and I was like, well, if I ski all the way through, I'm going to go into next season so far ahead that it's going to be the best season of my life. And I can just hit the punchline right here and tell you that I did not have my best season the next season. I had more injuries than I had had. And I can tell you that by August of that following season, I was so mentally exhausted from this journey that I, you know, when I reflected after that season, I realized that the forced time off was actually there was benefits to parts of that. So if you're one of those people that can ski year round, you know, and stay with it, and physically stay with it, and mentally stay with it, that's great. But, you know, if you're just going to go out there to do it and get, you know, I'm just going to try to keep it so I don't lose it. That's not where we want to be.
That's the difference. Yeah. Cause that is it. Like if you do live in South Florida and you can ski all year, like, it's not to say that skiing more is not going to be beneficial, but that ideal of prescribed time off, like, you know, I'm going to give myself these 4 weeks where I'm not skiing, I'm not thinking about skiing, I'm not talking about skiing, my body's going to rest, my mind's going to rest. I'm just briefly stepping away from it. As hard as it is to do, it's powerful. Like even for me, like during that, you know, that 4 weeks, I wouldn't even go to the gym those 4 weeks. I would find something else to do because I'm not able to work out without thinking about skiing, but I could find other ways of building myself physically where thinking about skiing wasn't an option. So I had to remove myself from it. And when it's prescribed time off, it feels like you're training in meaning like I'm taking this time off to be better at skiing. So that kind of, you know, you get those kind of anxious feels like, man, if I don't ski, I'm not getting better. But if I'm taking this prescribed time off, then it was like, I am actively doing something to not be skiing. If you know what I mean.
Yeah, man.
It was a powerful notion for me.
Diving into something else. So that's what I tend to do. And I get very excited about it. You know, this time of year, I'm starting to get really excited about snow skiing. You know, the weather's getting colder. There's a lot of benefits I find from snow skiing through the winter, but really the idea is that I'm jumping into something else that I am so excited about that and not everybody's going to have those other things that they do. And it's hard to reestablish these things. But as deep as I dive into my water skiing in the summer, spring, summer, fall, mm-hmm. I dive into, you know, snow skiing. For me, the gym doesn't correlate the same as what you just described. So I dive into my gym. I actually look forward to going and furthering different, you know, things I'm doing in the gym, or I just dive in really deep to that. And I dive into, like I said, the snow skiing where I'm doing it. And then, you know, part of why I like the snow skiing, I understand like people are like, well, the movements don't correlate. And so that's not really a thing. And I think there's, you know, for me, let's just say that I can take away one thing, which is the speed that we may have to make decisions at, that I have to make decisions at with the way that I snow ski. That speed keeps my mind fast,
yep.
Which is what water skiing is all about. You know, like we're making, you know, minute decisions, many, many decisions all happening, coming into one buoy, let alone six, let alone all the passes that we make while we're water skiing. The same type of thing is happening when I'm snow skiing. I'm making many calculations at speed and having to deal with the movements that I choose to make. And, you know, just staying tuned in that way, I think over the winter for me, being engaged in something deeply that I am passionate about, which relates to the water skiing, and then keeping my fast twitch, fast decision making, I'm keeping my mental calculator still processing at that same speed and not just turning it off for 6 months or 4 months or 3 months, I think is a really big piece of that pie. And then I think going pretty far back in what you said earlier, like if we're going back to water skiing, like you are not defined by the buoys that you're running. I mean, I know that that's our ultimate goal is to run more mm-hmm. buoys and run more buoys consistently. But I think it's just really important for people to pick those things that you did well this season and you keep coming back to it. And I keep, you know, rehammering it, but pick those positives, you know, like we're so negative if we don't finish on the strong. You're like a lot of people are skiing with, they're only as good as their last set, you know, and really the jam, man. So, you know, if you want to go, like, I thought maybe I would reflect a little bit on parts of my, you know, I highlighted parts of my season that went really well. And that was like, let's cheer for that. But then when I reflect, I also need to be honest with myself about things that I want to, I wish I could have finished stronger with, or I want to improve on the next season. So I thought about it, you know, and ultimately, if I want to talk about my technique, my spray makers, if you want to call it that, like what do I want to do better for next season? For me, I still need to improve my wrap around the center line, you know, especially trust in that for my hardest passes. So, you know, I highlighted some of this in a couple of episodes ago where I ran a nice 39, everything's going good. I'm wide, I'm early, you know, I'm comfortable on the line that I'm running and I ran it pretty well.
Yeah.
And then I get to my hardest pass and I basically, you know, abandoned ship, went to fight or flight and, you know, pulled as hard as I can, didn't bend around the center line at all and got ripped up into the inside and straight line at buoy one, hammer the turn, late to two, can't get outside of three. And, you know, so ultimately I know that I have more work to do in that area. So that's going to be a highlight of what my, you know, desires for focus, you know, when I start to put together this plan over the winter, not that first month that I'm taking off, but you know, when I'm getting, thinking about water skiing again, I'm getting excited about it. That's going to be my highlight of what I want to work on. And to fix that, you know, we need to fill in those black holes of those areas that we don't know. And if you don't know what that means, it just, we all have weaknesses in our understanding, like our 30,000 foot view of what's going on out there. And whatever your black hole is kind of where you go into that, like, I'm not really sure what I'm doing here, but I know I need to do it better. That's kind of your black hole area. And so, you know, go back, listen to Spraymakers episodes that pertain to those areas that you're weakest in. And that's gonna need to be evaluated in a truthful way to yourself. You know, like we said, human nature is always wanting to work on your strengths, not your weaknesses. So make sure that you're really highlighting that area that's weak and then understanding, why am I weak? You know, like that my hips back episode that we did a while back that, you know, we got so many comments on. You know, if that's you, it's not just I need to get my hips up more. I need to get my hips up more. No, it's like, okay, well, why are my hips set that way? Why is it too much pressure? Is it the way that I'm moving through my turn? Is it the way that I entered that previous turn? You know, is it my gates that are holding, you know? So you have to be honest with it. And then you have to just realize that this is where my point of attack needs to be. So I think that's just a really big key. And that's where that needs to go. And then I want to work on, you know, understanding my wraparound more. If you want to know what wraparound more is, just watch. I mean, Freddie Winter does it amazing. I mean, he may do some other things that I think he could do better. But one of the things that I see him do is he wraps around the center line really well, meaning that if you watch the way his upper body is moving, he's always staying connected to that line from center line all the way out to that buoy line. And that's what I want to work on personally. So, and then my other thing, and I'm just going to rant for a long time, so sorry, everybody.
No.
But the other thing that I realize is that I need to improve, continue my path down this improvement of my fitness and strength. So, you know, if I can be in better condition with a little bit more strength to weight ratio, I think that's going to be a really important thing for me to be able to set that you know, that high buoy mark total that I'm looking for. So those are the two things that I'm going to be reevaluating, you know, when it comes time to do that. And those two things I think are the weakest part of my skiing. And, you know, some people wouldn't say that. I mean, they're going to look at me and say, wow, you look fit, you look strong, you know, versus maybe some of your competitors and things like that. But I just know that for me, those two things that I highlighted are going to make the biggest impact. And, you know, I'm fortunate enough to be a professional coach and to be pretty honest with myself about where I'm at with things. And you know, my core strength or base strength levels, not core. I mean, yes, if my core is actually part of what I need to strengthen, but my base strength levels and conditioning need to come up. So, you know, in order to do that, I need to devote more to my gym time. I know that it's important. So when I wake up and it's cold and I'm not feeling it and I just want to stay in bed and, you know, I'm going to be motivated to go to the gym or to go ride my bike or to go skiing to be further pushing myself in that way. And I can tell you while I'm snow skiing, you know, a lot of times I do backcountry skiing. So, you know, when I'm doing my hike up again, same type of thing. I'm like, well, I pushed all year in my water skiing, like kind of feel lazy today. But I can tell you when I get out there, you know, I start to do my hike up. I do a lot of the stuff solo. I'm, you know, there'll be people that think that that's, I'm taking too much risk and things like that because I'm going solo. Yeah. But when I am solo, I'm not taking risks that way. I'm taking very conservative lines that I'm going to ski and things like that. But when I'm out there hiking, you know, the same exact thing happens. You know, you just feel lazy, you feel tired, you feel kind of worked. But when I get out there, the first thing starts happening is that drive to improve kicks in. And I always feel like I hear somebody coming behind me and I'm like, absolutely no. You know, if I was a biker, it'd be the same thing. You're out biking solo. If you feel like someone's behind you, you're like, oh yeah, you think you're stronger than me? No way. I'm going to push myself until I pass out. And, you know, so that kind of mentality, that's what I was getting at earlier. I think it's really important to find ways to push yourself. And that's a way that I push myself. And so I want to reach those goals for the next year. And I want to do as much as I can over the winter to do that. That doesn't mean I'm going to blow myself out. It's not meaning that I'm coming into the next season crushed, but, you know, I want to keep pushing in a different way. So, you know, Trent, I know you're, go ahead.
Well, I just say, and I think like depending where you are in the whole spectrum of thing, you know, this can be really, you can keep this really bite-sized. Like, you know, like if you, you know, I think even if they're modest goals, I think setting up just like a set of goals for the off season, as it pertains to helping you reach your goals next season, are important. So even if that's simple, like just knowing that, okay, if I hit May 1st, the start of next season, 15 pounds lighter than I am now, would that make me a better skier or whatever that number is? But if it's 15 pounds, say, would that, you know, if you know that'll help you reach your goals next summer, then just set up like bite-sized goals. You know, if that's your off seasons now, it's like, okay, if I'm 5 pounds down by December 1st, I'm on my way. If I'm another 5 pounds down by February 1st, I'm on my way. Right. Instead of just having a goal, like next year, I want to run 4:35 off. Well, if you don't have a means of getting there, that seems, you know, leaning more towards, you know, the unattainable. So just setting up bite-sized goals. And again, it's, you know, it's different. Everyone's at a different place on the spectrum in terms of athleticism and goals and the amount of time they have to be able to put into this. But it's, you know, I think like instead of losing the off season, just set up something for yourself. I think so those physical goals, I think another one, you know, really important one is like you've already alluded to, like delving into another sport, you know, whatever that sport is for you, if it's mountain biking, if it's cycling, if it's spin classes, if it's, you know, if it's yoga, if it's, you know, whatever it happens to be, like just, you know, a part of your off season plan should be to incorporate, you know, something else to put your heart and time into that, you know, is going to deliver or leave you in a better place to reach your ski goals next summer. You know, pick one thing that you want to do different this winter. You know, if you want to, you know, I'm going to spend a month working with a trainer. I'm going to spend 1 month working with a personal trainer to get me on path to reach my goals or to increase my understanding of, you know, physiology and the way to move. Or if it's, you know, I'm going to pick a 5K or a 10K or a half marathon or a marathon or wherever you are in that spectrum, you know, do something that just sets you a little bit outside of your comfort zone. Cause again, like the drive you find in the backcountry, like, and how that'll actually, you know, feed your spirit and help set you up for a better season next season. It's interesting when you get slightly outside of your comfort zone, you can find that drive. And it's actually when you're experiencing it in a way you're not used to, it can really like light a fire that maybe you know, hasn't been stoked in a while, you know, because again, we get used to the water ski grind, and sometimes we lose sight of, you know, people often lose sight of how good they are, or how much time and effort they put into it, or even how much enjoyment they get out of it.
Yes, 100%. And I think that also, just remember, I think you didn't allude to it, you said it, but strength to weight ratio is something that is very key for peak performing in slalom. So, you know, we find a lot of people take time off in the winter, and when they do, they tend in the holidays roll in and things like that. So just, you know, maybe this year, if next year you have a big goal that you're looking to do, keep that in mind and understand that, yes, we want to celebrate with family and friends and have a good time. And yes, you can have that little extra, you know, during Thanksgiving or during Christmas, but like, we don't want to play this game where we lose so much over the winter and then have to spend the rest of the season coming back. Like if you have a really hard time in the spring and you're like, oh, I need to lose that extra 10 pounds I put on over the winter, maybe this winter you're going to put a little more focus into that, you know, and a habit is formed in about 3 weeks. So if you can diligently stay with whatever it is that you're focusing on for something like 3 weeks, then the next weeks after that, you're going to have that habit formed, and it's going to be a lot easier to stay with it. So keep track of that. Don't lose that. And, you know, I think that we can have a great best year ever coming into next year. And, you know, it's like people that say like, oh man, I got to lose 40 pounds. Well, if you think about losing 40 pounds right now, it can feel daunting. It can feel like too much. Yeah. Like that goal is like, I want to run 41, but like, let's make some goals that are attainable in the short term. And you basically put that out there earlier, like make sure that you say, you know what, I want to have my focus on 5 pounds in the next month, you know, and if you lose 5 pounds over the next X months over the winter, you're going to be pretty close to hitting that goal. And maybe that goal of losing, let's say I said that 40 pounds, maybe 40 pounds is actually by the end of next season. You know what I mean? It's not like you have to do it all in a month. So really just find something you're passionate about. And if you don't have something, I don't know what it is. I mean, there's a lot of people that love pickleball. I don't know. I mean, maybe that's my next sport.
Great point.
But the point is just find something to dive into. And if, you know, maybe pickleball isn't the most physically taxing, but you dive into it, that's going to be something that's going to show its beautifulness later on. Once you stayed active all over the winter. So, you know, I'd like to just take a moment. I'd like to thank, you know, Brooks Wilson and Radar Skis for putting this show together, you know, for being our backbone, for giving us this platform to reach out to you guys and, you know, connect. And hopefully, you know, everyone is able to take their little piece of spray makers and make it their own. And going to miss you over the winter. And I'll be looking forward to season 5 of Spraymakers in the spring.